right, lead us in, Joe.
Welcome to 36th Street Church of Christ Assembly this morning. I can see all your smiling faces, at least those, I think you're smiling under the mask. I hope you're happy to be here. At this time, I'd ask you to bow as we go to God in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to assemble with our brethren this morning. May we never take this opportunity for granted. Father, we're thankful for the love that you were willing to sacrifice your Son at the cross at Calvary so that we might have forgiveness of our sins and the hope for an eternal life with you. We ask now for a blessing for those who are ailing of our number, and we pray that you will strengthen them, restore them so they can assemble with us once again. We also ask that you continue to bless the caregivers of our sick and our elderly as well. And we know, Father, that in our number there are those who have lost loved ones, and we ask that you comfort them and help us to administer unto them. We also ask that you bless our church leadership here and guide their decision-making as they lead this congregation. We pray that all that we say and do here this morning will be in accordance with your will.
It's a joy to have you with us for worship this morning. It's been interesting to see our numbers growing a bit, and it's grateful to have you joining us today and to have folks joining us online as well. The whole story of priests is one that doesn't make a lot of sense to us in our culture. We don't understand priests and high priests and all of that kind of language. Interestingly enough, the priests are all going to come from the tribe of Levi, and their big task is to offer sacrifice for sin in particular, and especially that of the high priest. The high priest has one special day that's going to be his special day, because on that day, the Day of Atonement, that day only, he's going to go into the Holy of Holies. And he's going to sprinkle blood for his own sins first. That's a big deal. He's got to offer a sacrifice for his sins and the sins of his family. And then he can offer a sacrifice for the people. But it's only after he's done that. And that's on that grand day, the Day of Atonement. Our text is going to be one that really deals with Jesus as our great high priest. In the last section, we looked about entering into God's rest, and we talked about how important it is to enter that rest. And that rest is really peace, where everything falls into place and things are just like they ought to be. That's something we're all longing for with this virus that's around us today. We're ready for this peace, and we're ready for things to get back to sort of normal, but we're longing for that peace. Interestingly enough, our author says that peace is available to you today. Today is the Day of Atonement for us. The encouragement is based on the fact that Jesus is the great high priest, the one we've been looking for, the kind of high priest that makes a difference in the fact that we can endure and we will endure. Again, the task of the priest primarily is to be an emissary. He's the one who goes between us and God. He links us to God. And he's that link that becomes so important. And so our text begins as follows. Let me move this ahead. There we go. Our text begins, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." It's because we have this ideal high priest. Now, you may remember the book of Hebrews is a book that can almost be summarized by one word. It's better. We have a better message. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the high priest. He's better than, better than, better than. He gives us a better hope. Everything is better because of Jesus. And now he's going to emphasize this fact that he is this great high priest. Interestingly enough, that theme of Jesus being high priest is one that begins here, and it'll run all the way through chapter 6. He's going to continue to talk about Jesus as this high priest. He begins by saying he's passed through the heavens. That's something that nobody, Aaron never did that. None of the other high priests have ever done that. But he has passed through the heavens. Later he's going to talk about the fact that he has gone through the veil. Interesting language, the veil. There, that's the curtain that separates the holy place from the holy of holies. And when you walk in there, you can see the Ark of the Covenant, which stands for God's very presence. And Jesus has gone through that veil. He's rent that veil from top to bottom. If you're reading in Matthew, you learn that the veil, that curtain, that thick curtain is torn from the top to the bottom. And you can see all the way to the presence of Jesus. Something that only the high priest got to do one day a year. Not everybody could do that. And now we can all see Jesus in a way, see God in a way that we couldn't before because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Jesus has passed through the heavens. He's the Son of God, and because of that, we need to hold fast our confession. Do you remember that day when you came down the aisle and you said, I want to be baptized? And the preacher asked you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you confessed Him as indeed being the Son of God. That's something you need to hold fast to. You need to hang on to that, folks. Now, again, our author is writing to Jewish Christians who are in danger of going back to Judaism and going back and leaving behind that great confession. That's something we all remember very well. I remember that day. I was 11 years old, and I can remember that day just like it was yesterday. And most of us can. We can reflect on that wonderful day. Jesus is not disqualified, though, because He is Son of God. Notice He is Son, Jesus, the Son of God. You might think, well, He's Son of God, and of course, you know, He can do whatever He wants to do, and He can do everything, but we fail to see that He's very much like us. You see, one of the big deals that we'll learn about in the next chapter is that, interestingly enough, the high priest, the priest, has to be chosen from among the people. He's got to be from among them so that he'll understand them. He'll understand what they're going through. And the real danger is that we think Jesus doesn't. But he goes on to say, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That word sympathize is an interesting word. In the original language, it's more than we use sympathize for feel with us, but it literally is to suffer with us. He suffers with us. And so he suffers with us. He suffers with us with our weaknesses. But he's one who has been tempted in all things as we are and yet without sin. You may remember that after Jesus is baptized, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness, and he's been fasting and not eating. And, you know, the devil is going to tempt him to turn these stones into bread, and he's going to take him to the mountaintop and say, all of this will be yours if you'll bow down before me. And, you know, he tempts Jesus, and the temptations that Jesus has are like ours. And I think in a very real way, those three temptations that he endures are so much like us that I think that's early in his ministry, and it's purposefully early in his ministry. So that we'll see that he's like us. He's being tempted like we are. And he gives us the power to persevere. He understands us. Now, if you're struggling with something and you really want somebody to help you, you kind of would like to have somebody who's gone through it, right? You know, you know that he understands. We always say, well, I understand what you're going through, but sometimes we really don't. It's interesting because I hear folks say when folks have lost a baby, well, I understand what you're going through. Well, we really don't because we haven't lost that baby. But you see, Jesus has gone through it, and he's gone through it in an amazing way. You don't want somebody who goes through it and then falls flat on his face. You want somebody who goes through it and who has been able to withstand it, don't you? And that's Jesus for us. He's been there, done that, and he understands. And again, that's important for us. This next language is really quite striking. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Interesting language. My translation has, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in a time of need. That word confidence is the one. You'll notice the translation I gave you initially was enter boldly. It's an interesting word. It means literally to say it all. And the picture you might get here is a kind of picture of the story of Esther. Do you remember Esther? Esther is that young lady, that Jewish girl who becomes the Persian queen. And so here she is, and she's asked to go before the king and tell the king what's about to happen to her Jewish people and make an appeal for them. And she says, well, people can't go before the king unless they get an invitation directly from him. But she goes boldly to do it. She steps forward and does it. And so in a very real way, we can draw near to God with confidence, with boldness, because of the kind of high priest we have. He's one who understands what we're going through. He has understood it, and he's been there, and he's done that. And we can approach the throne of grace. Now, I think the throne of grace probably symbolizes for good Jewish people, undoubtedly the mercy seat, the throne of grace, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has the winged angels on each side and a place which looks almost like a throne where God could sit. And it's that symbol of God's very presence. And so we can approach the presence of God, which is the throne of grace, the place where we find grace, the place where on the Day of Atonement they found forgiveness, and we can find this grace in a time of need. Now that's an interesting phrase, a time of need, and it's an unusual phrase in the original language. This time of need, literally it is a time of help, a timely help, a good time of help. So here is Jesus sitting as high priest on the exalted throne at the right hand of God, and he's our high priest. It's amazing. One of the things that's a big deal about priests in the Old Testament and as you read through the text is that they never sit. But on the other hand, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Why is he sitting? Because he's finished the job he came to do. See, the priests are never done. They're always having to offer sacrifice. They have to offer it over and over again, and it never ends. Our author, the author of Hebrews, is going to make a big deal of that. He's going to emphasize this Melchizedek kind of language, which we'll talk about later. Because Melchizedek, we don't know when he was born, we don't know when he died, we don't know when he began his high priesthood, and there's no indication of it ever ending. But with Jesus, that's really the case. You see, it's never ending. He's our high priest forever. He understands us, he can speak for us, he can come to our aid. And so there is this hour of crisis that we may be facing. And when you face an hour of crisis, you need a kind of high priest like Jesus. What a wonderful note, isn't it? We have this ideal high priest who is better than any high priest that those Jews have ever had. And that's who we have in Jesus. He comes to our aid. He comes to our rescue. He's gone to the cross. He's died on the cross. He's made forgiveness possible for him. And so we are able to stand before God forgiven, understanding grace and enjoying the grace of God. I hope this text is a meaningful one to you. It's a short little passage, but it's one that I think is meaningful to all of us. We're working our way slowly through the book of Hebrews, but I hope you're enjoying our study of the book. It's one that's particularly meaningful to me. Folks always ask me, what's your favorite book in the Bible? And I have to say, well, you know, I'm kind of like a kid at a candy store. It's the kind of candy that I'm eating at the moment that's my favorite. And so it's sort of that way for me. What's your favorite book in the Bible? Oh, I like John. I like 1 John. I like Philippians. I like Hebrews. I like Deuteronomy. Depends on which one I'm studying at the time. But right now, one of my favorites is the book of Hebrews. I'm teaching it at Ohio Valley right now, as well as sharing it with you. But I hope it's being meaningful to you as well. Jesus, our great high priest. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song, and if anyone needs to respond to that invitation to confess Jesus as Lord, that great confession we're supposed to hold on to, if you want to confess Him as Lord, we want to give you that opportunity to do that today, to confess Him as Lord, to be buried in baptism, and to enjoy the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is available to all of us. If you have other needs and we can help you in any way, again, let us know and we'll be glad to step forward. Let's all stand as we sing.
Once again, we thank everyone for being here this morning. Our numbers continue to grow, and that's a great sign. Thanks, Mike, for another great lesson. We have a couple of updates before we are dismissed. Sarah's sister, Rose, is still at the Willows and still in hospice care. James King is now home from the hospital and doing better. We'd ask you to continue to keep he and Dolores in your prayers. They're going to be moving into an apartment in the near future. So, Linda Butterfield states that the 18-year-old granddaughter of her friends in Virginia, that's Liliana Busseau, is now regaining her memory. You'll recall that she was admitted to the hospital in Virginia several weeks ago and that she had some condition that was causing memory loss. So thankfully that seems to be turning it around and her memory is coming back. Tracy Mason's father was in an accident yesterday on a tractor and he was taken to the hospital and he underwent surgery on his leg. So please keep him in your prayers. Dave Shreve would like to say thanks for all the cards that he received from this congregation at the passing of his mother, Anna Merriman. She passed away on March 11th at the age of 93. If you've checked the Facebook page lately, you'll know that in room 2, there our food pantry and our clothes closet are pretty well stocked thanks to a couple of generous donations that we received recently that was coordinated by Della. She's still planning on having the pantry donation day on April 17th, and that will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. She would ask that you check the Facebook posts as we draw near to that to get more details on what she will need. Also, there's an updated list in the bulletin this week if you need to check that. I want to say kudos to all, especially Della and those that are helping her in that work. I posted on Facebook that we in the Crow's Nest are working on the issue that's involved with the singing and how that you only hear the song leader if you're watching online, and it's kind of distracting, and we know that's not good, and so we're working on that problem, and hopefully we'll have a resolution on that shortly. Wanted to mention that yesterday was a special day for the Butterfield family as they gathered here to remember and celebrate the life of Brian, who passed away last March, but they were not able to schedule a service until now due to COVID. You all know that Tom and Nina and the whole family have a great and long history here with 36th Street, and it was good to see many of you here to support them and encourage them yesterday. David and Trevor have started teaching the children's classes again on Sunday and Wednesday. That's a good thing. We think this will go a long way toward a return to normalcy. However, they can't do it all by themselves, and we need some folks to step up and help them, teachers and helpers, with that. If you want to help with that, contact them, either one of them, or contact the church office and do that as soon as possible if you can help them. Regarding Joffrey, our missionary in Africa, it's been a while since we heard from him, and we were concerned about him, and I received in the last couple of days a communication from him. He says, "Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, and much greetings to the church family at 36th Street. I'm writing to apologize for being out of touch for such a long time." He goes on to describe an issue with his family that has since been rectified, but had caused him to have some setbacks in his ministry over the past several months. He's been without internet for a while, or he was, and he couldn't send us any updates, and he now says that hopefully that's been resolved as well, and we look forward to continued correspondence from him in the future. I think that's all the announcements I have. Any other announcements that we need to make before we dismiss? If not, please stand. Let us go to God in prayer as we dismiss. Father, we do bow before you today, and we're in need of your grace and in need of your mercy and surely in need of your peace. We confess before you, Father, that we have sinned against you. We flee for refuge in your mercy and your grace. We beseech you, Father, to hear our prayer and forgive our sins and transgressions, for we are ever mindful of your great and abiding love that you've bestowed not only on us, but on all of mankind down through the